have such a beautiful passage in Scripture, and I want to say a word that will help the grace of this passage to reach your heart. So I want to ask your prayers. If you would just pray for me for a moment, that I'll speak the Lord's words to you, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what He wants you to hear. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Just want to note, first of all, that passages like today's gospel have a way of moving the heart spontaneously. If we create a little space, think about the difference between being in a busy traffic or being in a shopping mall or just even being about the house trying to get things done, how scattered we are interiorly. And what happens when we just take 5 or 10 minutes and stop, read the gospel? And especially a passage like this that's so rich. And we just allow ourselves to go there, to be with Joseph, to be with Mary. We'll hear these beautiful gospels for Christmas next weekend. But to actually take a little bit of time in private, in your own prayer. Close the door, light a candle, whatever it is to help transport you a little bit. And what happens is we create a pathway. We create a pathway from our everyday lives, our busy lives. All of us have busy lives. Even priests have busy lives, you know. We have a lot of busyness. We have a lot of things going on. But if we can create those little pathways to reach into that world, which is very real. The world of the Scriptures is not just cartoons and make-believe. It's very real. And the nature of the mysteries is that they are right next to us at all times, right? That's the name that Jesus has. Emmanuel, God is with us. He's not just a figment of the imagination. He is with us. These mysteries, Christmas is always with us. And what helps us, what makes it possible to enter in? Really, it's as close to us as a shift of our hearts, as a shift of our minds. But we have to build those pathways a little bit. It doesn't happen automatically. It's not simply a wish that we can whisper somewhere and just have it magically take place. We build those pathways. But it doesn't take that much time, a regular relationship with Him in prayer, to read the passage, to reflect on it. All of us are able to do that. Any of us can take the gospel, especially a passage like this, and just reflect on it a little bit. Allow some of those details to come alive. Allow yourself to enter into the passage. It does us so much good. I want to offer a little reflection, some of the things that aren't as obvious to those of you who don't speak Greek. Maybe all of you. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody that speaks Greek. Anyway, I don't speak Greek either, but I can read commentaries that talk about the Greek. And sometimes we have a misconception about St. Joseph that he somehow suspected Mary of having, I don't know, slept with another man. She got pregnant somehow. He knew that it wasn't him. He could vouch for that pretty clearly. But do we really think that? Do we really think that Joseph suspected Mary of being unfaithful? Or did Joseph maybe think something's going on here that's pretty miraculous? And I'm not sure that I'm really worthy to be part of it. We get a little hint about that from the angel addressing him. The angel says to him, "Do not be afraid, Joseph." Now, if Joseph had thought that Mary was unfaithful, do you think that being afraid would be the normal emotion? I think any of us men, first of all, and women certainly, thinking about it, would say, I don't think fear would be the first emotion that would pass through us if you thought that you're betrothed. And when we talk about betrothal, the word here is actually, it's really marriage. Marriage took place in two parts, but they're actually bound up in a lifelong marriage already. If he thought that his newly wed bride had been unfaithful, I don't think fear would be the emotion. So what's happening there? Because Joseph is a righteous man. When we talk about righteousness in the Hebrew context, it's really saint. That's how they say saint. It's a man who is totally faithful to the law, meaning not just a legalistic observance, but the law was in him. He understood the law of God. He lived it and meditated on it in all of its richness and depth, studied and reflected and prayed. He's a man of deep prayer, and he really had in him the thinking of God, the insight of God, the ways of God. That divine logic was alive in him. So that's the kind of insight that he has. And he's married to, you know, the holiest woman who ever lived. And we don't suppose that that was lost on him. Like, oh, really? I didn't think that she was that holy. Like, no, he's not an idiot, you know? And even an idiot recognizes a holy person, right? Let alone a saint. A saint recognizes another saint. So that's the kind of intensity that's going on here. And yet at the same time, a virgin becoming pregnant is not a category that any of us live with. Like, that's not usually one of the possibilities that crosses through our minds. And so what's St. Joseph left with? Just like, wow, something really big is happening here. And he's thinking, I think maybe I'm just going to mess this up if I stay involved in it. I'm just going to step back. And that word that's translated here is divorce. Divorce only has one meaning in our thinking in English. Divorce is a legal ending of marriage. But that's not what the word is in Greek. The word in Greek is to separate oneself. Could mean divorce, like a legal divorce, but it could mean that he's just going to take a little distance and kind of get out of the way of whatever's happening here. A little bit like Peter. Do you remember Peter when Jesus came and he said, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And he says, we've been fishing all night, but at your command, we'll cast our nets. And they cast their nets, and they brought up so many fish that Peter recognized, holy cow, something amazing just happened here. And what was Peter's response? He falls to his knees and he says, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. He recognizes that he's just not worthy to be in the presence of divinity. Now we're getting a little closer to St. Joseph. Do not be afraid, Joseph. You are in the presence of divinity. God is with us. But not only do I want you to take this woman and her baby into your home, I want you to be the father. Now, we all know that fatherhood is more than about conceiving a baby, right? Fatherhood's a lot more than that. We have a lot of fathers here. You know that fatherhood, most of fatherhood is not that, right? Most of fatherhood is raising that child, forming that child, being a model for that child, correcting, encouraging. And fatherhood begins, again, in the Hebrew context, it begins with giving a name. And the way that the angel says, you're going to, not only do I want you to take that woman into your home to care for her, to care for that baby, I want you to be the father. You are to name him Jesus. St. Joseph understood, you're giving me authority over that child. This helps us to get a little picture of who St. Joseph really is. How does he respond? Now you remember when the angel came to Mary, and the angel said, you're going to conceive and bear a son. And then she responded in words, right? Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. She gave her word. How does Joseph respond? He responds with obedience, action. It's a nice little male-female complementarity, if you'll allow me to say that. Women do a little more talking than we do, which is a beautiful thing. And we tend to do some acting, right? But we see that in Mary and Joseph. Mary speaks her response, opening her whole life to the angel. Joseph acts his response. He did as the Lord had commanded him. He took his wife into his home. And we'll see a little bit later on, and he named him Jesus. It's giving us a picture of Saint Joseph. St. Joseph, who's a model for every man here, and St. Joseph, who is a protector and a provider for every woman here, St. Joseph, who is such a beautiful gift to us, and we can really invite into our homes, as we seek to make our home a little bit more like the home in Nazareth, a little bit more like the love that's there between Joseph and Mary, and the love that overflows and really forms the humanity of Jesus. He is God, but he still has a human nature that needs to be formed by the love of parents. And God entrusted him to the parenthood of Mary and Joseph. So as we have this time in church, let us try to really be here for the remainder of the Mass and to build those pathways in our hearts that allow us to be close to Mary and Joseph and Jesus, who are very real. God is with us. Not just an abstract concept, not an idea, not a distant figure, not a cartoon, not make-believe, but real. And we can have a real relationship with him and a real relationship with Mary and Joseph. Let's invite Mary and Joseph to be with us, sit next to us, speak to us, accompany us in this Eucharist as we worship Jesus, and then we can also take them home and continue that dialogue with them.